Ready? Good morning, everybody. We're coming to you live. It's not Monday. It's not Saturday. It's Friday. I'm Tom. We all know the Master Bub. Good morning, Bub. How are we doing today?
Bro, why are you yelling into your microphone?
I don't know. Why not?
You're really loud right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
How do you know? Do you have a set of headphones on?
I can hear you with my ear.
Really?
10 times louder than you should be.
That's because everybody's got to hear what we're saying, Bub. Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom. We all know the Master Bub. Morning, Bub. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty good so far, man. It is Friday morning. It is not food trucks in Abacoa. For anybody that's wondering, that is next Friday.
Is it?
Yes. Nobody out there really is wondering.
What brings that even up?
It's Friday. So that's about it, man. It's working.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Doing It Bubba Style. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Miss Outlaw Boutique, MS Outlaw Boutique. The moose is loose in Abacoa, ladies and gentlemen. 561-660-6695. The Amazing Robin will be there today from, I think, till 4 o'clock. Mr. Producer, question. Good morning, Larry. Yes, we are. It's been a long day. I didn't even get home, Larry, until 2 o'clock this morning, and we were back at it. I didn't sleep real well. Up about 4:30, talking with Bub about 5. 5:30, we were out getting, it's Fritter Friday, as everybody
Which
knows.
Which I don't partake in that. And
there's
you keep trying to take me down with you, and I'm not
doing it. There's a beautiful 73 427 Chevy pulling in right now, Bub.
Doesn't sound like a 427.
Yeah, it's coming in for you to look at right now. He heard you're the best in the business, brought the car in. We'll be featuring that car next week. Ladies man sitting right here, ladies and gentlemen. He's sitting back there with both the producers, just kind of panning, taking it easy. Bub, this is Fritter Friday. We had our fritters today. The ladies
you
man texted
had a fritter today. Don't take me with you.
Well, no, he's right, ladies and gentlemen. Bub had a chocolate-covered donut. Bub, we're going to talk about this beautiful 56 Bel Air right out of Barrett Jackson last year. We talked about the 57 Bel Airs this week, Bub. Now we're on Monday, the 56 was promised. We got a lot of people responding saying, I can't wait to see that 56. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is live, Jack. You're saying, yes, sir, Mr. Producer. Good morning to Mark Hoffman. Mark is the official BEM dirt track driver up there. We expect we're going to be seeing, he's in Maryland. He started out 7th place last week, Bub. We're waiting to see what happens this week as well. It's going to be a banner season for him as he goes out there and destroys everybody again.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. Do you wish I was on the dirt with Mark?
Nope.
Mark, you got to see the beautiful BEM, we're going to say... We've developed, Mark, a race team with a very famous Hall of Fame Pro Bowl, well, a Pro Bowl Hall of Famer from the Chicago Bears. It is a drag truck. Bub has it running. I think you're going to get somewhere in the sevens with that truck is where you're shooting, Bub?
Yeah, man, I don't know. Listen, this thing ran like its best times were in the high nines, like a 919 was this truck's run time, and that is pretty respectable on a naturally aspirated small block Chevrolet S10 pickup.
Tell Mark what you're running in that thing.
I just did. That's all I'm giving out there.
Oh,
that
you're
I
not giving
did.
It. Cubic inches.
That's it.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what, man. That thing ran pretty solid. High nines on an S10. Pretty lightweight vehicle from the factory. It does have a full suspension setup on it. We have done a lot of mods to it. Now, let me tell you, though. On that 919 pass, that thing was running like a turd bucket,
Oh, it was
dude.
Running really bad
this
when
thing,
you got it in.
I don't know how they tried to get it down the track and perform that kind of number with the current, you know, the status that it was. But I'll tell you what, with the upgrades that we have done, now that we have come on to this team and we have built something insane, you guys will have to stay tuned for it. Guarantee you that truck is going to break that 9-second number flat easily. And by the way, once we start moving that horsepower rating up, it's going to get even more stupid.
It's really silly, Bub. You actually, once you got it running and tuned the way it was supposed to run, you took the car on a ride around the block, the truck on a ride around the block. Mark, we'll let you see pictures of that behind the scenes. I'll send you some pictures over. You lined it up going out there. We've got about a half-mile strip sitting out here right in front of the main build facility. You came around the corner and stabbed that thing, and it was 200 yards dead straight, burning rubber all the way up before you got out of the thing, man.
Yeah, it's pretty stout, man. The you know, the way that the setup is set up.
Ladies and gentlemen, my beautiful bride, Robin, enters on Robin. The film stage. Good morning, sweetheart.
Can I, Robin?
Yes, please.
You're already on set, so just come on in. The camera's right here.
Hi.
Oh,
hello,
boy.
Sweetheart.
First time on camera.
Hi.
Thank you.
Bye, Robin.
Notice, ladies and gentlemen, that Robin walks out with all the money. That's it. Goodbye, baby. Love you.
Goodbye.
That. So there you go, ladies and
gentlemen. So anyway, so yes, yeah, so back to what we were talking about. That S10, I will tell you, it's actually a Sonoma. A lot of people confuse those things. It is natural. The S10 was kind of the default. The GMC Sonoma was the brother, the upgraded version of it. And let me tell you, there was not much for upgrades in the 80s and 90s.
It wasn't.
When you went from like the Chevrolet Camaros to the Pontiac Transams, the Pontiac Firebirds, there were not much of upgrades, right? But that's what that difference was. There was like the Chevrolet was always that baseline stuff. Then there was always, as even in today's world, there was like the GMCs. They were always kind of like that next level up, a little bit better, maybe more luxury, maybe something. I don't know if you guys can hear what's going on out front, but I'm pretty sure there's something big going on outside here.
Yes.
That's what happens at BEM. So yesterday we had Jeep Day in here. I never finished on my S10 thing. But let me tell you, that S10, raw power, stupid, straight lines, 200 plus yards. To a point where you got to get out of it. I stay in it, 7,500 RPM rev limiter, just stay in it and freaking mash on it. Don't get out.
I stay in it until it, well, it meets the curb, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, typically what happens.
Bub, this is the 56 Chevrolet Bel Air 2-Tone, came out of Bear Jackson. Bub, let's talk a little bit about some of the differences between the 56 car and the 57 car, if we could, please. And Jack, thank you. He was very, very, Jack was one of the 10 or so people who wrote in that said that he couldn't wait to see this car. He's in Toronto, Canada.
So check it out, man. Probably still pretty cold up there right now. It seems to be really cold everywhere else right now. I talked to Dietz last night. He's up in Philly.
Dietz is who, bud?
Derek Dietrich, number 32, Miami Marlins. So yes. I talked to him last night. He's in Philly right now. And let me tell you, cold, dude. Cold still.
By the
Keep
way,
in
did
mind,
you
it is like, what? What are we in? We're in April right now. April. It's cold
it's
everywhere.
It's 85
else.
Degrees here. Did you see that Bucky Dent, the World Series most valuable player and iconic New York Yankee who you build for, he and his buddy Reginald Miles from the original 78-79 team threw out the pitch at Yankee Stadium Tuesday night, Bub. Mm-hmm. Both were wearing jackets. I texted Buggy right after that, and he said, yeah, it's miserable. It's cold up here, and it's just, it's no fun, man.
I bet, dude. Cold. So over to this 56, since we are all over the place this morning. We've hit you with about 20 subjects already. Dirt track racers, S10 pickup trucks, stuff that's going on outside here, the Jeeps yesterday.
See what it's like to live in my head?
Yeah, I know what it's like to live in your head. That's why I try to stay away from it as far as I can. This is a 56 Bel Air. This is a follow-up to what we did on Monday. That was the Tri-5s, which is 55, 56, 57.
Correct.
In all of these Bel Airs. Now, one of the things that you started off in asking me, and we've had a lot of questions about it, is what is a post Bel Air, right? And
yes,
a lot of people thought that that meant like a year range.
Car.
Like, was that post 55? Was that post 50? No, it wasn't related to the year. What it was related to was the fact that in between the doors, and one of the things that we pointed out on Monday was this Bel Air is a non-post car. There's nothing between that front glass and the rear glass as a full frame all the way around the door itself, which you saw on the 57. The orange one that we shot with from Barrett Jackson on Monday, that one is a post car. That's a post 57. And that is what you typically see a lot of. These, a lot more of that stylish, smooth line. You drop all four windows. They go all the way down to the window channels, sit flush, so you have a beautiful opening. Kind of the way I like to lean, the non-post.
One of the things that we saw in the Tri-5s, you'll have to take us through, one of the things that kind of sets you apart from everybody in the world is you work every piece of your business, whether it's the upholstery, the paint and body, or the mechanical. You're mm-hmm. involved with every piece of it. You can run every facet of your business. And in the design side of things, you really need to kind of look forward, okay? With the Tri-5s, the 55, 6, and 7, those were tooled differently. Everything was different about those cars, mm-hmm. correct? I'm sure the frames were pretty much the same. I might be wrong.
Yeah, no, frames, chassis, drivetrain, all of that's essentially the same. And pretty much you can get, like, anything that you order for these. That's why there's, like, that new Tri-5 lingo. It's like if you order a disc brake conversion kit, you're ordering a disc brake conversion kit for a Tri-5.
Okay.
55, 56, 57. So a lot of the components in the drivetrain all were pretty much the same. When you're doing V8 swaps, if it wasn't a V8, typically these things were, you know, a lot of these straight sixes, three on the tree, even on the floor sometimes.
When you say three on the tree?
So three-speed manual column shift.
Okay.
So there are many options out there that were available. There are totally different changes in these things all the way across the board. And there are purists out there that know every piece of every VIN number, every color, every overspray marking. There are guys out there that know every last detail of it. There are also guys out there who could care less, and they just want a Tri-5. 55, 56, or 57 that just runs really good, super reliable and strong. And that's what we're going to do with all these that we've got here at BEM.
And, Bub, as we talk about that a little bit, what did it take Chevrolet from a design or from let's say, a ramping standpoint or a mechanical standpoint, if we were changing these bodies one a year, man, mm-hmm. how does a big manufacturer like GM, Ford, you know, the same thing could be said of the Ford Thunderbird, the 55 to 56 Thunderbird.
Same thing there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how do you do that? How do you ramp up? You tool all this stuff for 12 months and you collapse it and go at it again?
Yeah, you know, that's realistically what went on, man. And then, you know, back in days like that, there were, you know, the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, things were very defined. You know, there were a couple year runs on every car. It wasn't till like the late, almost really like mid 70s going into early 80s where you started getting production runs of, you know, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years. You know, GM always stuck to really close to 10 years. You know, you think of like the Camaros 82 to 92, the Camaro Firebirds, the third gens, the fourth gens, they're still doing the same thing all the way today right now. So, you know, they were always in that 10-year run, you know, and just little things. You know, you think about Bel Airs, they did these, this was 3-year run that they did this car, 55, 56, 57. Same thing with the Thunderbirds. However, the Thunderbirds carry on for a very long time, all the way up till, what, 2000 something. They did those newer style coupe Thunderbirds. 2004, 2006. So, you know, there are certain cars from that era that carried on all the way through. There are a lot of companies that just gone. You know, they only did these production runs, DeSoto's and LaSalle's. There are companies that came around, they did their production cars, by the way, like top-notch kings. That's what they were. Luxury cars, vintage, classic, iconic, but they were gone. You know, none of that's around anymore. So preserving some of these things, enjoying some of these things, it's a lot.
So, Bub, did it require a lot of manpower then, I guess, to change all the equipment? It wasn't robotic today, like you could punch something and say, okay, this robot arm's going to do this, this one's going to spray this, and they adjust for those variables, you know, from an automated sense. This was really hands-on, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, and I talk about that all the time. I mean, everything with the old car world and industry is an art. You know, it was an art back then, and it is an art today. And all the way down to, I'm talking basics, man. I'm talking art from the fact of this car rolling down the assembly line. It was fairly generic in terms of like the paint colors, what options you could get offered, you know, 3-5 different colors. There was black, there was blue, there was red, you know, just your basics, right? There wasn't colors like there is today where you can mix and match whatever kind of paint you want. You can custom order individual cars that take 8 months, 9 months, a year to get sent in with custom paint, custom leather, custom stitching, different colors. You know, back then it was very basic. While you could still get your offering, you could still order certain items, but there are still, in some cases, you've seen really rare cars that we've even had roll through here, through auction blocks that are, I mean, there was like one guy that may have been like the head of General Motors, and he was some really rare executive that he had a little bit more pull than the general population, and he was able to order maybe a 442 with like this set of bucket seats with this style color matching and these logos on the rear and this one on the fender. And, you know, instead of the red, it would be filled in with blue or color match. Listen, there were all kinds of things out there that were like that. And that has created something that is huge demand in the industry, but not around anymore.
How do you say, Bub, we have two questions we're going to jump on. I wanted to know, you know, Daimler, Chrysler, or Daimler-Benz is now over in some of the neighboring third world countries. They're going to be developing and selling over there. Does that dilute the value of the product, you think? You know, we're big European automobile owners. We actually have an S550 chauffeur's edition in our fleet. Does that dilute the value of the product when you start taking something that's that high and little man's hitting the camera there?
I know he is.
When you take something like that and move it into a third world country and you start producing it, much like these cars were produced back then, do you think that dilutes or hurts the value of the vehicle, or does it allow more people to have access to it?
I think, you know, I think that's a hard question to answer because I feel like, you know, listen, if it's going to be, let's say General Motors, they have one of the largest plants and towers in Asia, right? Overseas, they do. Let's say them, for example, if you're working with somebody like them, they're going to have the same tooling there that they're going to have here. So while the production levels are 10 times faster, let's face it, they are, they're much faster over there. You know, the production levels are faster. You're pushing a lot more. You're getting a lot of quantity. Great for the automobile industry. Great for the company. They're selling a lot of units. They're getting rid of all these things. But there's a lot of people that are just true American-made purists, and they won't freaking buy unless it's made right here.
You make a very good point.
And that's just in general. Now, the tooling might be identical. They might make the exact same fenders that they make here, that they make overseas, wherever it may be. It may be the same motors. It might be the same wiring. Everything might be freaking identical. You could take the cars and put them side by side and run them as hard as you want. every day, but when they're all being followed, or they're all follow the same set of guidelines, the instructions, the build style, the design, the torque specs, the colors, the matching, the, it's all the same.
Your quality should remain the same.
It's all, the quality should stay the same.
Thankfully, I think the president is doing a lot with NAFTA. He's pushing back against it. We're seeing a lot of those jobs come back to the United States. I'm excited to see skilled American workers come back to the surface again. It's something we've definitely lost here in this country.
Yeah.
And they need to bring those back to our shores. Mr. Producer, a couple questions over there. Good morning by Jeff Graham. How are you, Jeff? Oh, that, and that, you know, it's funny. Okay, so Mark Harfman just mentioned, our dirt track driver, he just mentioned we should build a junk truck and run it up against Asian and Farm Truck, who are friends of ours. Mm-hmm. We've been on tour with them. Good guys, by the way. Asian's a really good dude, bud. Mm-hmm. I've sat back and watched you guys laugh on many an occasion. Good dude, man. It would be very cool. It would be very cool to do something against him. But they've just done some upgrades. It was overseas. I want to say Australia. They took the farm truck and did a bunch of upgrades to that truck as well.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
They're fast,
they're going. They're going worldwide, man. From something that was originally a big block Chevrolet platform a couple years back to now. Again, man, modern technology, twin turboed and freaking LS series.
So is that what they're doing?
It's getting completely modernized. You just can't beat today's reliability and performance that you're going to get out of today's equipment.
Much of which you bring in today's car.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's one thing too. Again, even a situation like that, the farm truck is known for not the engine that's inside of it. The farm truck is known for its exterior condition, like Mark Hoffman says, a junk truck, right? You immediately default to like the first thing you think of. It looks like a freaking busted pile of crap, right? But it runs a serious time and lays down some raw numbers, right? So when you are thinking about that kind of stuff, that's what people think about when they think about this. They think about something that is iconic. They want it to run. They want it to run strong. Probably doesn't matter, like, the setup that's on it, as long as it does its job.
Right on. Mr. Producer. There he is, Jack from Ontario, Canada. Good morning, Jack. I'm glad you could join us. I really am. It was very funny, and I'll share this with you, Jack. This gives me chills. It was this episode, because you did write in on Monday and said you couldn't wait to see the 56. Bub is having lunch with his very, very, very good friend today, just going out on a cruise with the iconic world-famous Billy Lane and his wife. He has to be in, where's the port of call, Bub?
I actually got to wrap this up because I got to go, dude.
He's got to go. And, Jack, Bub and I had a conversation about making sure this episode aired today, albeit early. We got our producers. They got in. They scrambled to get it done. We wanted this episode to go out specifically for you so you could see this 56 Bel Air, since you did express such a high level of interest in it. Thank you for joining us today. That's how far we go for people when they do write in, Bub.
So pretty iconic car here. 56 small block Chevrolet V8. This one is a true, believe it or not, this is a numbers matching setup all the way from the front of the engine all the way back. It has been restored, so I'm not saying numbers matching survivor crap that was found in a barn under a cover that's got the same fuel that it had since 1957 in it, right? So this thing is a true numbers matching setup. The drivetrain is correct. It's falling out of the car, but it is correct.
Yeah, it is. That's true, Jack. It is falling out.
So we are going to go through this setup.
Can you tell everybody real quick, Bub, why it's falling out? What was the difference between what created that problem with this?
Just the design, man. So this is the way that these designs were originally done in these Tri-5s, from the front motor mounts to you know, the transmission cross members. They were all kind of like a floating style system, not a undercarriage style mounting setup. So originally, you know, typically when you think like a V8 style, you know, style motor, you have the shape of a V. You typically have a mount on the left and right side, somewhere in the center, sometimes forward of it a little bit, forward of the center a little bit, and that allows you to, by the time you have those mounts in, which is strong undercarriage support, then you have one at the very back of the transmission, a tail shaft support. Everything sits very well balanced, and it mounts beautifully, right? It's strong, it's reliable, it functions exactly how it should. This setup was almost like a free-floating setup. Like, it mounted to the front, the very most forward portion of the engine. So all of the weight of that motor, 800-plus pounds, is on two very small mounts at the front corners of the engine, guaranteed to always rot and fail, right? Rubber bushings. And then also, there was like a midway point free-floating that was on the sides of the transmission. Now, there were no braces that went underneath, so whenever these mounts failed, literally just dropped in the rubber naturally over time. This is 60 plus years old. the rubber is going to crack and just drop, and that's exactly what happens. The transmission in this thing is literally free-floating design. There are no lower channels, cross members, any sort of braces that run either underneath the engine or underneath the transmission of this car. So once those components start failing, literally pieces start sagging. That's what happens. And then you have problems like the transmission pulling down. It's actually stretched the transmission lines on it. So now that they are leaking everywhere, it also broke one of the flanges on the exhaust system because the weight of the trans and engine is pulled down. So there's so much that can literally just trickle down. Instead of having like a generic style setup in today's style vehicles where you have like a cross member that runs across the back of the tail shaft, you have a very even balance between the rear of the transmission mount and the midway points of the engine. Everything is, you know, if you were to take 2,000 pounds and try to hold it in your hands, you want to make sure that those mount, you know, the mounts are in a good spot so that you can sit here and hold it evenly.
Yep. And by the way, Jack, so you'll know, Bub physically pulled this vehicle off the road. He would not let it leave the facility.
Yeah, no, this one's dangerous. It looks really, really pretty. Mechanically, this car is a total fail.
Yeah, it is.
It's bad.
And it belongs to one of your celebrity clients.
Yeah.
But you told him it ain't going.
Yeah, no chance.
It ain't leaving. And that's kind of what you do. You have a moral obligation to take care of people, not just do work and take in money.
Yeah, so this one's actually, because it is, and again, this is how we build here at BEM. If the client wanted to stay with the stock setup, very easy. We can pick up the phone and call Eckler's, have Christina over there send us in all of that stuff for this car, direct fit out of the box for the Tri-5s, easy enough. But we are going to do upgrades so that this client can drive it. This is a 283 V8, 283 cubic inch V8, automatic two-speed transmission, nothing more than just put it into drive and go, and that's about all you get. This one has numerous issues with it, so we are actually going to pull the two-speed automatic. It is a factory column shift, so park, reverse, neutral, drive. We are going to do a 700 R4 conversion, which is a great four-speed automatic, typically used in like the early 80s going through the 90s. It then turned into a 4L60 transmission and still runs through today in some of the cars and trucks. That setup is a four-speed automatic. We are going to put that in this car, but we are going to do it in all factory colors, all the factory color cables and linkages. So it's going to look like a factory component that was put in this car, but you'll be able to also get in, put it in drive, have four forward cruising gears, and this thing will be super, super fun and reliable when it's done.
Does that devalue the vehicle since it was quote-unquote numbers? And I know one of the
things... To some people, yes. To some people, it depends on the buyer. Some people could care less.
Okay.
Some people want you to hold on to like the stock transmission just to have it with the car, as long as you're not doing any cut-up modifications to make the 700 R4 fit.
You don't
fit,
work like that,
which
though.
You don't. This is a direct fit swap that you buy, even all the way down to like the park, reverse, neutral, drive, and then from there it's going to be a D with an O around it for overdrive, and then from there it's going to be D, and then it's going to be 2, and then it's going to be 1. So it's going to have the correct indicator even on the column, so it does look exactly like it should if 56 General Motors put in a turbo hydro 700 R4.
Right on, bud. Thank you very much. Mr. Producer, any other questions before I jump into? We good? Very good. Jack, thank you so much. Bub, I want to talk about something very exciting. We officially, Saturday will be our last episode over on the Blog Talk Radio platform. This is something that's been coming a long time. We were officially supposed to launch this weekend. We're going to wait till next weekend to go. The countdown starts, and our producers will be putting a countdown, a calendar on all of our social media to the new Podcast One platform. It's going to be an amazing event. Actually, we're with Paul Sr., Paul Jr., Mikey Tuttle, Joni, his beautiful bride, the guys from Orange County Choppers. Next Saturday, Bub, after we get off the air, we'll load onto the BEM tour bus and head north for the unveiling of the OCC chopper.
Yep.
Which, Bub, that's some chopper, isn't it?
Yep.
Can't talk about it, can you?
Looks like a GTO. Let's leave it at that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have to get the master out of here. He is going to have lunch with Billy Lane before they set sail.
Get it?
The Little Mermaid?
No. I got to go, dude. Nemo? Wrap it up. Let's go.
Nemo?
No, not Nemo.
Bub, tomorrow morning we're back at you, 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast, doing it Bubba style. You will see it here on Facebook. It is the only 4K live stream motorsports show in the world, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back tomorrow morning, Bub. Until then...
just keep on doing it Bubba style.
Thank you, Bub. You get ready to go have lunch with Billy Lane. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Shop our 20,000 part online catalog right there at bubbasexoticmotorsports.com for all of your automotive needs, for performance, looks. It's all right there, ladies and gentlemen. Ms. Outlaw Boutique, the moose is loose in Abacoa, ladies and gentlemen. You saw one of the mooses, something like that, walking in the middle of the show. Give me a kiss and then walk out, huh? How about that? Ladies will steal your heart, won't they, ladies and gentlemen? The moose is loose down in Abacoa. The beautiful Robin and Layla are there. 10 to 4, I think, today. 561-660-6695. Let's not forget about Barrett Jackson, 12th through the 15th here in the Palm Beaches at the South Carolina Fairgrounds. And more importantly, April 14th, the big unveiling of the brand new Orange County Choppers motorcycle. And maybe it's not what you're expecting it to be. We've seen it. We're under an NDA, which is the entertainment industry, non-disclosure. We cannot talk about it. It's a non-disclosure agreement. We will see it also there on Saturday. We'll be there. We'd love to meet you guys all in person, along with the Tuttles, our very good friends. Wonderful people up there. Super good people. A lot of great stuff coming out of Newburgh, New York, ladies and gentlemen. Let's reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive manner today. Open the doors for somebody who's got their hands full or elderly trying to get into that store across that street. Grab that elderly lady's arm. Get them across that crosswalk, man. Those guys in the BMWs and their cell phones, they're not paying attention. Let's take care of our elderly out there today. Let's shoot somebody who's got holes in the bottom of their shoes, if we can, ladies and gentlemen. You got a pair of stilettos in your trunk that would fit just great on that guy's size 9.5 foot. How about that? At least his feet wouldn't have any holes, or shoes wouldn't have any holes on them. And ladies and gentlemen, let's feed somebody who's hungry. Go right across the street there to Sitco, buy a power bar and a nice muscle milk for him, man. Give him some protein. It's cheaper than your designer cup of coffee. Let's make sure we take care of all those beautiful animals we've been entrusted to take care of. They need us, and we need them. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, right here on the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports Facebook page, the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast, doing it Bubba style. We will see you then. Thanks to all of you around the world for being part of the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports family. Till tomorrow, let's keep on doing it Bubba style. All right, Bub, let's get you out.